Hello, welcome to Q&A with Perrier. It's happy to be with you today. This is your time to bring your questions about calcium bentonite clay and my opportunity to help you answer them. Hope you're having a wonderful holiday season and staying cheery and bright with everything going around, and keep your clay handy for all sorts of emergencies. If you're in the kitchen cooking, you know, I can't go through a Thanksgiving or Christmas cooking without burning myself on the oven somewhere, so I keep the clay handy. Definitely drinking the clay throughout the season. A lot of dust and pollen in the air. Exposure to colds. People are hacking and coughing. And so it just makes sense to drink your clay daily and build up your immune system to support your body during the holidays and these stressful times. I'm going to go over and look and see what we have in our Q&A section today. I do have one question that was sent to me by email, and I'm going to address it first. It's from my friend Alice Wong, who can't make the show today, but wanted me to address what's the difference between living clay and food-grade diatomaceous earth. There's a world of difference. Diatomaceous earth is actually a sediment composed of fossilized skeletons of ancient aquatic microorganisms known as diatoms. These little microscopic skeletons are composed of silicon dioxide, known as silica, which is also the main element found in sand. And if you look through it under a microscope, they look like little tiny shards of glass after it's been milled. And they use it for killing insects. Like if you sprinkle it down and the insect crawls across it, if it's an exoskeleton insect, a cockroach or a flea or something, it will, the little shards of glass cut the exoskeleton, exposing the insides to air, and they die of dehydration. Now, the problem is, if you put it outside and there is dew and it gets wet, it's not effective, so it has to be dry when it's exposed to the fossils. Supposedly, drinking the clay, the food-grade diatomaceous earth will help remove these worms. Now, for some reason, it will cut up pinworms or roundworms or worms in the body, but not cut up the body. And I know a lot of people take it, and I've never heard of anybody dying from taking it, so I guess it's okay. As far as it being, you definitely don't want to take the pool grade. The pool grade has been treated with chemicals and heat, and it is dangerous. So if you're going to try it, get the food grade. And I like the Wolf Creek brand. They make a lot of sense on their website and seem to know what they're talking about. I have done comparisons with it, and when I mix DE with water, diatomaceous earth with water, and shake it, it separates, and the diatomaceous earth goes to the bottom and the clear water on top. Clay, when you do that, it stays emulsified. Now, I tried mixing clay with the diatomaceous earth, and it took the separation qualities out of the clay, the emulsification. I also noticed there isn't the slick coating in the glass like there is with the clay. There's that slickness that clay has that helps coat the insides and helps the healing process. Now, both of them are somewhat absorbent, and I think because the diatoms are settled in sand in the ocean bottom, there are these layers and layers of these little plantains known as diatoms that dry out, and then there's the little hard, crusty shells, silicon dioxide shells, and they're crushed up. Now, even though it's silica dioxide and has silica in it, the food grade only has between 0.05 and 1% silica. So, clay, I think, is much more absorbent. I've never heard of using clay, the diatomaceous earth for all the things that you can use clay for. I know clay is very good at healing gut issues. You can make it into a nice paste and put it on your face, and it really draws. It draws more than the diatomaceous earth. You can feel it drawing blood flow and circulation, tightening the skin. It pulls out inflammation. And all in all, I think the clay is much, much more effective. Now, the reason for the letter was that a friend gave her a weight loss tonic formula that was 1 teaspoon of turmeric, 1/2 teaspoon of cayenne, 1/4 teaspoon of borax, 1 teaspoon of diatomaceous earth, 1 teaspoon of coconut oil, and 2 cups of boiling water. Shake it often and sip it throughout the day, and this is supposed to help with weight loss. Well, I don't know about that. I know if you mix oil and clay, the clay will absorb the oil. Don't know the purpose of the borax except to alkalize, which clay already does. Have had people drink clay. They drink quite a bit of clay and lots of water during the day. And when they get hungry, they go drink some clay, and it helps them lose their appetite, and they lost weight that way. I'm sure you can substitute the clay for the diatomaceous earth. I just don't know the effectiveness of the formula. Cayenne is a stimulant. It stimulates circulation. I'm just not real clear on this formula and how it would lose weight. I've found there's really the best way to lose weight is push back and eat smaller amounts. And kind of watch what you're eating. You gotta use a little common sense there. But anyway, I hope I've answered her question. If you'll go to the Wolf Creek Diatomaceous Earth, Wolf Creek Ranch, it has a lot of information on the food greed and the different forms of diatomaceous earth. And I think you can see the difference for yourself there. I've definitely experimented with it, and it's very powdery. It's very talcum-like. It's very, very light. You can get the same size quantity in clay as heavy, where this is extremely light. Clay, of course, has silica in it, too. So they overlap a little bit in what they do. Clay, it does kill parasites. It doesn't kill parasites. It captures them and carries them out of the body. There's no leaving the dead animals there to be expelled, the dead little worms or things. Clay just captures it. The worms are drawn to the clay and will actually go to the clay and be expelled through the body, out with the feces. So, okay, we got that question answered. Let's see what we've got. My friend Carol in Chicago. Hi, I cannot hear you, but I'm going to ask you this. How do you take clay with GMO foods, veggies, fruits, and to neutralize toxins in us? We eat them for the price, veggies and fruits. Thank you. If you think your foods have been exposed to all this, well, I definitely drink clay before I eat them. GMO is something else. I don't know if it's if there's a chemical in it and the body deems it unhealthy, the clay will go after it. The clay just has this wisdom. I am a firm believer in drinking clay before you eat your meals, just in case they aren't organic, just to be on the safe side. So if you eat it before, the chewing of the food seems to release these toxins that there might be in the foods. So I'm going to really have to study a little bit more on the GMO foods. I think they're chemically treated. So I'm seeing chemicals in there that clay might go after and reduce. I've not seen any studies about using the clay with the GMO foods for the results. Common sense tells me to be on the safe side, I drank clay before I ate my foods. And just a little bit before you eat will do a world of good of keeping any toxins that are in the food. Whether at this day and time there's so much exposure to arsenic, even in rice and foods we get from China and Japan, fish, particularly anything in the Pacific Ocean near Japan with the Fukushima spill into the ocean. So be on the safe side and drink a little clay before you eat. And that's a very good question. Thank you for that. Kim in Austin. Hi, Perrier. I'm currently reading your book and love it. I will be sure to review it on Amazon when I am done. I was wondering what's the best way to use clay would be following a tooth extraction. I want to speed the healing and relieve the swelling as much as possible. Thanks. You can actually pack the dry powder around the tooth and it will help with the healing. It's just like putting it on a wound. It heals from the inside out and it will pull any inflammation, bacteria, fungus, or any bacteria or infection that might get into the tooth out. You can put the clay on the outside of your jaw, the clay mask over that area. Put it on during the day and at night and down in under your jaw where that gland is to keep the swelling down. My son-in-law recently had a lot of gum surgery done, and he used, excuse me, the clay. He was in a great deal of pain. They really laid back his gums and was in quite a bit of pain and couldn't eat much, was swallowing his food, and I had him drinking the clay and applying the clay to help take down the swelling. So I had somebody recently that had a tooth problem similar to yours, and it wasn't healing, and she was hesitant about putting the powder clay in her mouth, and her mother finally got her to do it, and it instantly started to work and help relieve the pain. She was in a great deal of pain. So try that. And thank you for the thumbs up on the book. I'm getting really good reviews about it. Excuse me. I'm excited about the people that are calling me that have read it, that really like it, and they see the value and the difference between the first book and the second book. Several people are buying it for Christmas presents. You can get it on Amazon, and if you go to theclaybook.com, that's my book site, there's a link there that will take you right to the order page. I'll probably send out another notice. I think there are a lot of people that still don't know it's out there, and I hate to bombard all of you who've already know about it, so if you'll be a patient while we try to get the news out. Since they took down the About Clay site, that was a popular place people knew to go for information, and it's no longer there, and they're not aware of the bentoniteclayinfo.com site, that's where all the information and things have gone to. I put that site up. I'm no longer connected with the company, but I'm a believer in promoting the clay, so I'm taking this responsibility and expense on myself to have the website and to keep putting out blogs and emails and information about clay and to continue answering questions. So that is my honor and my privilege. Thank you. All right, let me see if we have any more questions. Well, that's all for now. So I'm going to move back and talk a little about the new book. I would like to explain some of the things that you will find in the new book. One of the things is that the book contains over 180 new protocols. Some of them were in the old book, but they're just a great deal of new ones. So I think that is something that is very, very informational to go and find protocols that we didn't cover in the first book that are in this one. The other one had a little over 101, and this one has 180. We have a chapter dedicated to pets this time, explaining how animals in the wild use clay and how it's good for your pets and livestock and fowl. And there have been research with cattle and chickens and pigs using clay. It was all beneficial to them. And then it gives, you know, amounts for different size pets, how to mix the clay, how to give it to them. And then some pet protocols. There are a lot of new testimonials in the testimonials section. There are new chapters that weren't in the other book, a chapter devoted just to the energy in clay and how the electromagnetic energy has such a vital importance in how clay works in the body. I'm just really excited about all the things. This book, I have a bibliography reference to all of the scientific data and quotes that I used in the book. So there are three pages of information there that you can go to and look up the articles or the research yourself. But just putting more scientific data in there to validate the functions of clay and what it does and how it does it. Lots of good new information there, and I am just looking forward to sharing that. The Living Clay book is no longer available. You might buy some renegade price ones, used ones that people are kind of skyping the price on Amazon because they're no longer in production. So this is the book to go for, the definitive guide on calcium bentonite clay. And I would love to hear from people who get it. If you could send me an email or let me know what you think about it, I'd love to hear your comments. I have no idea how many have sold. I just get occasional email from someone like him who says, I'm really enjoying your book, and that just thrills me to no end. So I want to thank all my supporters out there. Let me see if we have any questions going on now. Well, you know, this is the holiday season, and I guess we have a lot of people who are out of town or busy right now cooking or shopping, last-minute shopping and doing that, and not too many listening in. Well, the good thing is we're recording this so it can be listen to later, and I do want to ask my listeners, if you're listening in, if you have any questions, to please press star 2 on your phone and I'll open your line and you can visit with me. And I can answer your questions, and also love to take your wins with clay. I've recently talked to a lady who called me and she got bit by a tick, and she just started scratching her leg during the night and didn't realize what it was, and then she saw the bullfly circle with the dot in the middle. And I've got her applying clay to it quickly, and of course her doc telling her she needs to go to the doctor. And she's, after 2 days, the circle, the red circle on the outside has gone away, and the inside is a little more inflamed, but that's what clay does. It pulls, it's pulling the venom back to the point of origin, so it will eventually pull it out right where the bite was, but it's pulling it, already pulling it back, and she's been using it 2 or 3 days. She took a clay bath, applied the clay poultice to it, and is drinking the clay. So if you're out and about in a hunter and get exposed to a tick, put clay immediately on the tick bite. Now, I have talked to people who got Lyme disease from these tick bites and who were misdiagnosed for years and were nearly on their deathbed from all the problems. And the things the doctors were giving them weren't helping because it wasn't Lyme disease. And when they found out and started taking the clay, it gave them the best relief and the quickest recovery they've had. So keep that in mind. And cold weather, frostbite, I would come in and put clay on any frostbite cold thing because it's going to stimulate circulation and blood flow, and that's what we want to do, is get the blood flow back to it. It's severe frostbite, of course, go to the emergency room and get started there. You don't want to play around with something like that, because if the circulation is already lost, it can be very detrimental. Okay, let's see if we can talk about something positive here. We're doing a lot of eating and a lot of sweets and partying and wine and things. You know, you can drink clay after a party and after you've imbibed in alcohol for a while, and it will keep you from having that hangover the next day. So drink some clay before you go to bed. Try to eat healthy. You put some green stuff, some vegetables, some, I like spinach and apples. It keeps me regulated, and they're very good for you. And just use a little common sense during the holidays. It seems so good at the time, and small bites are okay, but continuous small bites end up being a big bite. So regulate yourself as best you can, because those pounds are harder to get off than you realize. And that's not the fun part of starting the new year. Let me go back over and see if we have any questions now. Okay, Craig Tisdale and Lenexia. Is there any reason for combining calcium and sodium bentonite clay? You know, if you have a good calcium bentonite clay that's working well, I don't see any reason to mix it with the sodium. Living clay is a swelling clay. Your calcium bentonites are swelling clay. Bentonite is a swelling clay. Sodium bentonite may have a higher swelling. I'm not so sure that that is in the same way that the calcium does, because when you mix the sodium clay with water, it's very gooey and plastic-like. It's a different consistency. When you put it on your face, it's more jelly-like, and it doesn't dry like the calcium does to bring circulation. They're two totally different things, and the thing is more sodium. Now, when I mix the two together, I tried it one time, and when I did that, it separated. It didn't stay emulsified, and it separated into clay and water, with the clay being on the bottom and the clear water on the top. It was like the calcium bentonite considered it a contaminant. Now, I don't know if the sodium bentonite, I didn't think to check the sodium bentonite and see if it's stayed emulsified anyway, but sometimes when you mix two opposites, you get a weaker, you're kind of diluting things down. Some people like to do it. If you want to try the bentonite, see if you think you have better effects, the sodium, then try the calcium. I would do it that way rather than mixing them. But, you know, try it and see and find out what you like. Reason-wise, I don't see any reason your calcium bentonite clay, a good calcium bentonite clay, and I really like the Living Clay brand, is very strong drawing and detoxing, and I don't think it needs anything added to it. I really like to use it as a standalone. I have compared it to 40 to 50 clays, and just putting it on the mask on one side of your face and put the others on the other side of your face, and you'll be able to tell the difference right off. So if you have something like that you want to try, mix them up as a mask and try half your face. Mix them both in water and let them set and see if they separate or stay emulsified. In the new book under Selecting a Healing Clay, there is a segment there on how to compare two different clays that explains, you know, different processes that you can do to compare for grittiness and for emulsification and for vibration in the clay and things like that. So I personally, I'm not a fan of mixing them. If you want to try it, go ahead and please give me your feedback. Okay, Carol again. Hi, how long do you need the clay, 8 ounces, 3 times a day to see improvement for GI issues? The lady who did that, it took her 4 weeks before, well, she was feeling better, but before they went in and did the colonoscopy again and found out that everything had cleared out. So I think it would depend on what you have is what sort of issue. If you have an ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease, all I know is she did it for four months, and when they finally went in and checked her out, they found no sign of the Crohn's disease, no sign of the colitis, the polyps were gone, her colon had changed from the colon of a 70-year-old to the colon of a 20-year-old. She was actually 46. Now, I do have her phone number if you would like to call her. She's welcoming calls and would like to be happy to talk to people about her situation. And if you will email me, I will share that information with you. She's been very generous to help people with GI issues. You need to know a little information about what you have and what you think is causing it. If it's stress, you've got to work on that's kind of an inside job. You know, if it's exposure to different things, allergy-like situations, the clay can help more there. Clay will help with stress as far as excreting over acidity, but nonetheless, you need to work on worrying and stress doesn't solve things. It just perpetuates them and makes you feel better while you're trying to solve the issues. And so I would really need to talk to you to find out exactly what you're dealing with and how long it's persisted and how long you've had it and how you think you got it. What do you think caused all of this in the first place? So I'd be happy to talk to you in private on that. And I think you have my email because we've emailed before. So please call me and we'll check that out. Okay, let's see if we have any more questions here. Oh, Kara was talking about leaky gut syndrome. IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, and leaky gut syndrome. Yes, she has that too. And like I say, she worked with it for 4 months before she found out it was all healed of taking that amount. So I'm sure it was healed before the 4 months was up. In 4 months, she finally had to have surgery. And they, because she had an obstruction in her colon and a weak spot there. And she, that was when they were saying they were afraid they were going to have to remove her whole colon. And they ended up taking, I think, 8 to 10 inches out of the weak part and were remarking on how healed her colon was. So I think it happened in less than 4 months. But again, let me talk to you on that in private, and we will see if we can, I'm trying to capture your email here. Well, Carol, I know you've emailed me before, just email me and I'll get you that number so you can check on that. Okay, thank you. All right, okay, well, good. So we have no questions coming in right now, and I'm going to go back over and talk about, let's talk a little bit about mixing clay. You know, it's so easy if you will mix it in a blender. If you want to make the liquid clay, you put 4 cups of water in a blender and a half a cup of clay. Blend it on high for 30 seconds. And pour it into a quart jar, 32-ounce container, and from that you can pour off your 2, 3, 4 ounces. I just had my 2 ounces a little while ago. That's generally what I take a couple of times a day, because I've been on clay so long. that it you know, it gets in your system, and when you can take it continually, there is a continuation of the cleaning out process and the energy process that the body gets from clay. So it just keeps you, it's like you're running on good oil all the time, fresh oil in your car all the time. Clay baths would be good to take during the holidays. We're exposed to a lot of fumes and chemicals and things in the air. So I would take a couple of clay baths occasionally, maybe one a week or one every 2 weeks. They're very relaxing anyway. And I always get a little coffee during the holiday season from I'm trying to get back to the phone line, from all the things in the air, and particularly when I get the decorations down because they're kind of dusty. I change my air filter, but I can already see the dust. This is the time in Texas when one day you have the AC on and the next day you have the heat on. So you're kind of changing the wind flow and what's going on and circulating in your house. So it's good to keep taking that clay during the holidays. Acid reflux, we have a tendency to get that in the holidays, stressed out and eating the rich foods. If you get food poisoning, start sipping on a little clay and keep drinking it. Generally, when you have food poisoning and you're vomiting and have diarrhea, every time you drink something, you throw it up. So take small sips of it and just sip on it until you can keep it down. And generally, in a few hours, it'll stop the diarrhea and the vomiting. So remember to use clay for that if you get something that was left out too long and isn't quite kosher. If you eat a lot of fish, I would definitely be drinking clay. I was trying to find my testimonials, and I don't have them open to go to, but we're kind of caught up now for the holiday season, and we're actually out of time, so we may make this a short one for this month, and I thank you all for your questions and for being here, and that those who are going to listen later, and if the person experimenting with the sodium and the calcium bentonite, I would love to hear what you think about it. If you do, go ahead and mix them and see what your results are. I just didn't have really good results with it, so I know some people like it. I don't know if it's just the new fad and they're thinking, okay, if we combine it, we'll sell more. It's just like a lot of people with the clay baths, they mix a little herb in this one and say, use this one for detoxing from smoking, use this one for detoxing from something else, and they have about 20 different combinations of things, different baths to use with different herbs and things in them to specifically help with that one situation. I think a good clay will do the job by itself, but that's just my opinion, and you're welcome to yours too. So here is wishing you a wonderful Christmas. If you haven't gotten the book and get it, I would appreciate if you'd go and leave a review. We're trying to get some reviews out there. And to all of you, I wish you a healthy, happy, and prosperous holiday season. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, and Happy Holidays. This is Perrier signing out.